Well, I missed last week. I'm sorry. Work had me tied down. But look, I got a good podcast for you guys tonight. Local guy fishing out of Sterlington, Louisiana, Alan Anders. And he knows what he's talking about. We had a good visit tonight. Less than 30 minutes. You guys are going to like this one. Full of information. He talked about his year of fishing and what you guys can look at right now if you're going to go to a local lake in our area and bass fish. So you guys give a listen to Alan Anders. Well, we missed last week. I had a lot of stuff going on, but this week we want to get in with some guy with a guy that I've kind of gotten to know a little bit through Arkla, Alan Anders. He's a knowledgeable guy. I've touched base with him a few times, and guy knows what he's doing. Alan, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on, man. I really do. You know, when I first got to knowing you and talking with you, I could tell right off the bat, you know, you had some knowledge about you. And then, you know, I started following you on social media. And, you know, you really got a good thing going with this bass thing, dude.
Man, I love it. I mean, that's really all I want to do, you know, right now.
Yeah.
Come June, a little bit after June, I like playing golf a little bit. So that gives me kind of a break between, you know, tournament season.
Yeah, it probably gets a little, you know, I imagine there's going to be a lull time around that June, July, August time, huh?
Yeah, June, July, August, it's golf. And then starting by October, November, it's deer hunting.
That's right. So give me a little background on you. What's your background, where you're from and all that?
Yeah, I'm originally from Bastrop. Ended up moving into Sterlington after the mill shut down. Been fishing ever since I can remember, but my competitive fishing started when I was about 10 years old. Dad came up to me one night. He said, "You want to fish a tournament with me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're going to have to throw a spinnerbait all day." I said, "Oh, I'm down." And I'm thinking it was a L&M outdoors tournament. We were over on the river, and I still remember like it was yesterday. I caught a 3.5 and a 4.25 on that spinnerbait, and I think we cut a check, and ever since then I've been hooked.
Now, you said your daddy he went ahead and told you you're gonna have to throw a spinnerbait all day. Explain to people why throwing a spinnerbait all day was brought up.
Oh, it catches good ones.
Yeah, and it's power fishing. I mean, you're on the reel all day long.
Yep.
All day long, and that can be a little tiring. So.
Yeah, I was after that 3 and 4 pounder, I was hooked, and he said, "Man, we may cut a check." I'm like, "What?"
Mm. And so now y'all did cut a check, right?
Yeah. If I remember right, we cut a little check.
That's good. And you were hooked at that point.
Oh yeah, yeah. We ended up fishing, you know, some more stuff. From I'd say 10 to 16 or so, and then Darren Wheeler had a high school circuit whenever I was in high school, and we'd fish, you know, Darbone, Caney, Claver, stuff like that, and that I really enjoyed that. But you know, nowadays the high school stuff has gotten so big.
It hadn't it though. I mean, I'm impressed. Gosh,
it's crazy.
You know, I started following Gage and Hayden after I met them, and then that just opened up the world of high school bass fishing. And I'm just, you know, I've got them all on social media, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, these young men. You know, they didn't have anything like that when I was a kid. When I was coming up in Farmerville High School, you know, it was, you know, your basics, baseball, basketball, and football. We didn't even have a track team. And if we'd have had something like this, and then like 4-H with archery and shotguns, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot out there for you, and I'm glad to see it, man. I'm really glad to see it. So you fished on what, the Sterlington team?
Yeah, Sterlington.
Yeah, what year was that?
Oh, shoot. Graduated in 13, so that would have been, I'd say, that, you know, my high school years, and I graduated in 13, all through high school.
And just in probably, what, 10 years, it's grown to what it has. You know, because like you said, it wasn't quite as big as it is now. So now, I mean, it's these kids, they got some.
Oh, it's serious now.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, man, even in Arkle, we got a high school team that is leading the Angler of the Year. Right,
I know
now.
They're hammers, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's these young people can get on them, man. They can get on them. All right, so that's your background. So let's talk about your year of fishing this year. How's it been since January? Let's start off in January. Tell me about how your January went.
Man, January was phenomenal for me and Dad. We kicked it off at on Caney Lake in the in that media circuit. During practice, I was covering a lot of water the last, the 2 weekends prior, and I catch a big in here, another big in there, and then Dad got on a little something special also, so he said, man, we may do okay. I was like, yeah, it's probably gonna take about 25 or 30 because there's some big ones out there. And game day we rolled into to a grass spot and Dad caught a giant and I caught a 5 and a 6. I was like, man, we ain't hit your juice yet. So we eased on over to his stuff and shoot, Dad caught a 7 and another 6. I mean, that was our 32.5 pounds. I mean, it was unreal.
That is, golly, tell us how much was that again?
It was 32 something, the biggest bag I've ever caught.
And that was on which lake?
Yeah, Caney.
Caney, that's right. See, I went out there the other day and had a good time. And let me tell you, man, I'd never been to Caney before. I'm very impressed with it. Good lake, got a lot of good fish in it. Doesn't surprise me that you came up with that kind of bag, but I know that. How is that your heaviest bag you've had, or what is the heaviest?
I've caught some big bags on Bussy, but tournament fishing, that was the biggest.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. That's a lot. And that was in January. So in January, are you comfortable telling us, mainly what you would throw at that time to maybe to get you a good bite?
Oh man, the trap on Caney is what you need to be throwing.
Yeah.
Just
Okay.
covering as much water as you can and just trying to find, where them big females are wanting to feed at, and if you run into enough of them, you'll have you a good bag.
Yeah. So January's covered, and then we go in to February. Tell us about how February went for you, because it's kind of a significant thing I want to talk about in February.
Yeah, February was good too at Claiborne. I got on something that weekend before in practice up shallow and out just a little bit deeper. And we just ran with it during the tournament, and luckily they were some big females fired early for us, which kind of gave us, some confidence going out and trying to catch a few more pre-spawners that hadn't made it in yet. And
Okay.
I think we ended up, we're right at 20 pounds in that tournament. That was that Arkla.
Yeah, that was the Arkla. That's right. That was the first time I met you. That was the first time I met you. You guys did really well out there. And if I remember, it was an overcast day. It had been it had, it was a pretty cool it was pretty cool that weekend. So when was the weekend? Was it the following weekend when you beat Ben Milliken?
Oh, that was that Caney
Oh,
tournament
that was the Caney
back
tournament?
in,
I thought that was Claiborne.
I think that
Okay.
was in January. Yeah, that
Yeah.
was in January.
Okay. That's the one I wanted to talk about. You know, you look, folks, just so you kind of get an idea. If you don't know, and I don't know if you don't know, you've been living under a rock. There's a guy on YouTube, Ben Milliken. He's from Nebraska, but he lives in Texas. He's what is he, part owner of Sixth Sense? And
Yeah, I think he is.
so he's got a great following on social media. If you're not following or looking at him on YouTube, you need to. He's honest. I mean, like he if you want he's got like videos on using LiveScope, and I mean when I say got it on video, he's got the 3/4 of the screen is the LiveScope, and he's showing you what he's looking at and how the fish are reacting. And guy just basically he knows what he's really, really good. Comes down here, gets in this tournament. And Alan and Mr. Richard beat him. Okay. So this guy comes in like third. Caught a big one. What did he catch? An 11-pound bass that day?
Yeah, he stuck an 11. I'm thinking during the singles.
Yeah, during the singles he did. That's right. That's right. So the reason I bring this up, he won the Bassmaster Open this past weekend. So, Alan, you and Mr. Richard can always say you beaten somebody in a tournament that won the Open. That's pretty impressive.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is a good feeling, man. Because I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, people look at this guy, and he's, and rightfully so. I mean, he's doing a lot of stuff that I don't see, you know, people doing. Like, my Lord, he throws some of the biggest lures I've ever seen, you know, and catches fish on them. It's crazy. But you know, I guess that's what LiveScope is showing us now.
Yeah, he's on something. He's on a whole different level with that live scope.
I would probably say he's using the live scope as well as the crappie fisherman using it catching crappie. Wouldn't you kind of
Right,
compare that?
right. Yeah, I could see that.
Because he's, I mean, he's, that's all he's doing. I mean, he's just riding around, he's looking for the big ones, and that's his targets. And he
And
will.
you can waste a whole lot of time doing that too,
That's
because
exactly right.
that live scope, the first year I got it, that live scope burnt me. I said never again. So I mean, I still like looking for them, you know, on side imaging. Then I'll just, you know, line my cast up with the live scope and just still fish for them, because I feel like whenever I'm staring at the screen, like my instincts are just totally gone. So I still like, you know, dragging and fishing for them like I traditionally would.
So when I went to Caney with Gage Struben, you know, the first thing he was talking, I was, you know, I'm quizzing him. I'm doing just like I'm doing right now. It's like a live. I really should have had my podcast gear, and we should have done a podcast from the boat. Because I'm asking him, I said, "Oh, tell me what are you looking for when you come out?" He said, "I'm looking for birds." He said, "That's the first thing I'm looking for. I want to see, you know, how the birds are acting." And so the young man and you and I talked about this earlier, honing your woods, you know, I would call it woodsmanship skills,
Instinct,
your
it's
instincts.
instincts.
Yeah. Looking at what
That's all
Mother Nature's
bass
doing.
fishing to you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Looking at what Mother Nature's doing, and then figuring out, okay, why are they doing that? And so that's what you like to fish like, right?
Yep.
Now, when you say side imaging, now I've got side imaging. I'm trying to learn it. Give me some ideas on my side imaging, what I need to be looking for.
You know, summertime after, you know, after these fish get done spawning, brim get done spawning, and the bass just want to go chase bait, you just mainly looking for bait and good pieces of cover on some good structure that the fish can hold to.
Okay.
Then you just take that crankbait out of Carolina rig and just fish, you know, looking for them white dots
The white
on
dots.
side imaging.
Okay, I'm looking for the white dots. Good deal. I'll write that down. All right, so we get done with Arkla. You had a 20, what was it, a 20 something pound bag at Arkla?
Yeah.
Now, was that a lighter bag than you were expecting that day?
That was a lot bigger bag than I was expecting, maybe if everything fired right. I mean, I know Claiborne has the potential for a giant bag, but I mean, I was expecting if everything worked, you know, everything worked right, I was thinking 17, 18 would be a good bag. But like I said, our first stop with that trap, I mean, bang, bang, we had a heavy five and a heavy four. I'm like, God, somebody's gonna have a sack today.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting a little bit bigger, but there again, we had such a weather change, things were a little different, you know. And that's kind of been the theme for Arkla this
It's
year.
yeah, it's been a weird year weather-wise.
Yeah.
Them fish don't know what to do.
Yeah. Did you fish the media at Claiborne? And I think that was in February.
Yeah, I fished all the medias and the Arklas.
Okay.
Let's see, in what month are you talking about, in February
Yeah, I
or
think
April?
I may be wrong. Because I think media's been to Claiborne twice. Maybe, yeah,
Yeah,
I think
been to
twice.
Claiborne twice. Yeah, I think that other Claiborne tournament, I think we had maybe 13, 14 pounds, and then I didn't do well in the singles after that the next day.
Yeah. So we get done with February, and then we're moving into March. Now the weather should be starting to warm up. Things should be getting a little bit better in March. How did your March go? And you should be, what are we looking at? We're looking at spawning bass or pro-spawning bass?
Mainly spawning and pre-spawn. I mean,
Okay.
you can do well at Darbon in March and try to find you a couple spawners, you know, to go with your pre-spawn bag. I think that's how you can get some good weight in March.
Okay. So what all did you fish in March?
We fished, yeah, media had one on Darbone, and I think me and Dad, I mean, I was on something that I thought could play, and we gambled on it, and it didn't work out for us that morning, so we ended up leaving there, going up to the grass, and started catching them late, and I was like, dang, we missed it. I think we may have had 10, 11 pounds, so I ran with that the next day in the singles, and man, I had three or four on that, just ate me alive, and still ended up with about 14 pounds. And that was a good tournament. I think I got third that day.
Yeah. So let me ask you about Darbon. Now we know, of course, it gets all the crappie publicity that it can handle. But how is bass fishing? I think, I was talking with somebody last fall, early fall in September, and he and I were riding around a lake and we'd rode by a large grass patch. He said, "You see that right there?" He said, "That right there will make this lake great for bass." He said, "But they spray it." So now what are your thoughts on it? Is it coming up? Is it good? What's going on with
Yeah,
Darbon right now?
every election year I look forward to, because that's when the grass gets back, at its usually at its, healthiest, because they drain it every election year, or after every election year, it seems like.
Every 4 years,
And
you're right.
yeah, the grass, just helps everything in the water. The fry can survive, more. It's just makes the lake healthy.
There's no place like home on Lake Darbon, and nobody knows this better than Union Parish native Joe Booth with Booth Realty. Joe has been serving real estate clients in North Louisiana since 1998 and will work tirelessly to help you buy or sell your property. Trust me, I can't tell you how many fishing trips I've been on with Joe where, when the phone rings, the fishing stops. He's also lived on Lake Darbon for 23 years and will put you in the best place to meet your needs around the lake. Call him today at 318-548-3185 and let Joe Booth guide you home. Years ago, I worked at True Value in Farmerville. Some of the folks listening may remember True Value. You may even remember me from the True Value days. I don't know. But we had a little, at one time, we had a little fishing section. We thought we was doing something, had some fishing. And the guy that worked there, he was running it, and he told me watermelon red. He said, "If you're going to throw anything in the water, it's watermelon red." Does that still hold the standard at Darbon, or you got a favorite different from that?
The watermelon red is good, but I got a couple that I found that I got to
Okay,
keep
I
close
got
to
you.
them.
I respect that, man. I respect
Oh,
that. Because you out there, you trying to win a little money, man. You can't give out
yeah,
all your secrets right
can't give
now.
up too much.
Yeah, well, I can respect that. I can. All right, so March has hit. We go to Chico for Arkla. That was shaping up. I wasn't really, because we had a warm week, and I'm like, oh man, they're gonna catch some fish. And that's when, I mean, not only did the storm blow through, it blew through probably at its strongest right through that area and disrupted everything. So what
That
happened
was
that
one
day?
I had circled on a schedule, because I love Lake Chico in March. I mean, it's just a day of fishing going out there in March when the weather's right. I mean, 17, 18 pounds is, they are all over the lake. It just didn't play out for us that day.
I don't think it played out for anybody. Except, I
Now,
mean,
we worked hard for them three fish that day.
yeah, I think everybody worked hard. And one guy that I can't remember who it was, he fishes the lake a lot. He said, "Man, we had a shad spawn that we weren't expecting." I mean, he really kind of fleshed it out on the interview that we talked about. And it made sense what all he was talking about. I was thinking, fresh water and this and that and a wind, because it was windy as all get out that day. And it don't take a whole lot of wind to get windy on Chico.
Oh no.
And he had some in-depth stuff, so it made sense. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the winning sack was under 20 pounds. I think it was 16, 17 pounds. I don't think it was much. I may be wrong. I may be wrong. Maybe misspeaking. But
Yeah, I'm thinking it was in the teens, upper mid to upper teens, if I remember right.
yeah. So here we are in April. Did you fish media last weekend?
Yeah, I fished last weekend. It didn't do too hot. I think we had 14 and change, and we had two dead ones, so I think that got us to 13, 30 or so, a couple spots out of the money. And singles was, you know, same. I think I may have had 7, 7.5 pounds, one of those kind of days.
Do you have any thoughts on what may have caused you some trouble?
Man, I'm thinking it's, I was chasing, you know, pre-spawner still, just trying to find the active feeding fish. Just couldn't get on them. And then whenever I went fishing, you know, fishing in the dirt, I think I was too late.
Okay. So we're going to Cross Lake next weekend for Arkla. Do you have you fished Cross much?
I have not fished Cross yet, but I plan on going this weekend, and I hope it sets up like Turkey Creek, because I love fishing Turkey Creek in late April and early May.
Okay. So tell me about Turkey Creek. Where's is that nearby? Up
That's
there?
south of Winnsboro area, I think the Wisner area.
All right. What do you like
It's got
about
a lot.
Turkey
It's got a
Creek?
lot. It's got a lot of cypress trees, and like I said, you got to figure out trees are holding too, and if you can figure that out, you can probably run that pattern, you know.
Yeah. Tell me about Cross Lake. It's got a lot of cypress trees in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, from what I've seen on Google Earth, it's got tons of them.
Yeah, and like Lake Ventura.
I heard it's real shallow too, so.
Okay. See, the only lake I know in that area is Bistineau, and I know how many trees it's got. So it makes sense if Cross has a lot of cypress as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, when we were just chatting before I started recording, you mentioned that there was a time when you put in the fish Bassmaster Open. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, this was a couple of years ago. I seen it was Ross Barnett, Red River, and Rayburn was on the schedule for the next for that following year. I was like, man, I gotta fish that. So I was all jacked up wanting to fish it, you know, but I ended up getting waitlisted, you know, and come time I may could have waited it out, you know, and may have gotten on to fish them, but you know, the following or this year now, you got to fish all nine of them, you know, if you want to make the elites. So I just
So you just
gonna
kind of,
stick gonna stick on you stick with what I'm doing now.
yeah, I don't blame you. Now, what do you do for a day job?
Man, I work for Boardwalk Pipelines. I'm a measurement specialist for a natural gas transmission company.
Okay, so fishing all those tournaments, that's kind of a, that's not gonna happen, huh?
No, man, I got a good job right now, and I'm enjoying where I'm at right now.
I can't blame you, man. I can't blame you a bit. You know, that's a hard schedule if you're gonna fish all that stuff for sure.
Yep.
So let me ask you, let's talk about the average Joe real quick. We got 8 minutes left on the podcast. Let's talk about average Joe fishing right now. Guy's gonna go out, you know, he wants to go out and he wants to try to find a few. Give us some ideas where, let's just take I don't know. Let's take Darbon. Let's take it. Say somebody wants to go to Darbon. They're not going to crappie fish. They want to try some bass. What do they need to be looking at, in your opinion, right now?
In my opinion, for the last few weekends that I went, you need to be looking for chasing some wind, or possibly getting on a shad spawn. If you can find that shad spawn and the bass have found them, you should, you know, catch you some good ones. Also, a frog bite should be coming on pretty soon, because I mean them brim aren't too far from spawning themselves.
Right, that's right. You're exactly right. The brim should be. We got a, in fact, one of my buddies, we have a volunteer, Farmerville Volunteer Fire Department fishing tournament where the guys kind of get together and, you know, the fire department will fish. I go out there and I'll weigh for them because I'm the only honest one out there. The other ones, they'll put the thumb on the scale. They, you know, I got to run the scale. I got to do this, that, and other. But they're going to do that in May. And it always, I'm telling you, man, these guys bring in some weight of brim. I mean, it's crazy how many brim these guys bring in. So that's always a good time. But you're right, the spawn should brim spawn should be about to happen for sure.
Yeah, them bass know where them bremer bedded at, for sure.
The reason I went with Gage to Caney was I asked him, I said, teach me how to tell me some tips on throwing a frog. I asked him that one day on text message, and he said, you go with me Friday, I'll show you. And so I want to go. I live, of course, you live in Sterlington, and when Desired gets a little when it gets that duckweed on it, I want to go down there and throw a little frog around. So it was interesting to hear that frog bite. What kind of frog do you like to throw?
Oh man, I like the booyah. I love a booyah frog.
Yeah, that's what
That
I've
pad
got.
crasher.
Some guys like that, like that. And then one guy, he was like a couple of years ago, he was just really pushing me on that ribbit frog. You ever thrown that ribbit frog very much?
Oh, I like me a ribbit too. There's times where they prefer a ribbit over a hollabilly. That's something you just gotta figure out,
Yeah. And that's, I had trouble. And that's why I asked, Struben to take me, because I was having trouble getting that ribbit to do like I wanted to. Of course, when we go out there, he throws like a booyah on there, or hollow belly, or yeah, hollow belly, and that's what we fished with. But I had trouble with that ribbit, just keeping it like, you look at YouTube and they're doing it one way, and then I'm throwing it out there. I'm like, okay, I'm not getting it to do what it's supposed to do. What am I doing wrong? But I'm sure I'll figure that out at some point. So, all right, dude, well, we can call this good. You got 25 minutes in. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Man, that's all I got.
Well, hey,
Just
give
hopefully
your
I can get on
man,
something.
give your
Do what?
dad, give your dad some, give him some props. His name's Richard Anders, right?
Yeah, Richard. Yeah,
Yeah.
Richard.
How long has he been fishing tournaments?
Man, he's been fishing since as long as I can remember.
Now, let
See,
me ask you.
I'm 28 right now. He's been fishing probably since before I was born.
Let me ask you. I'm gonna ask you a quick question. You front boat or is he front boat?
At times I put him in the front because I get flustered sometimes. I said, "Man, take this trolling motor. I gotta clear my mind."
I can understand that. I can understand that. How difficult, just, and it's just me asking, was it, how was the transition? Because I know a lot of dads are going to want to be the captain, man. They're going to want to, did he give it up very easily, or did you have to fight for it?
No, I still take his advice on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I would too. Man, been doing it as long as he have, I'd have to listen to him as well, for sure.
Yep, he's got a lot of knowledge in that head on a lot of these lakes around the house.
Yeah. Well, dude, good luck to you in a couple weeks out there at Arkla. I hope you find something, and I'm looking forward to seeing you out there.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Hey, I appreciate you. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Bye. Bye. Man, I appreciate Alan coming on tonight. That was some good information. Talked about his year of fishing. Going to see him in a couple of weeks out there at Cross Lake for the Arkla Team Tournament Trail. Guys, you can follow that on Facebook. We're going to go Facebook Live for the weigh-in, and you can see what Alan and Mr. Richard pull in that day over at Cross Lake. Always go over to the Antlers and Hicks Facebook page. We got some merchandise there, guys. Give us a hand. Let's share some of that and sell some of that and get some of that out of my closet. It's packing it up. Bothering me. So, my name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks podcast. And as always, I'm going to encourage you guys to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.